Welcome to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. Another episode here. Very nice to finally be back with all of you after a week hiatus. Hopefully you don't hear it in my voice. Voice is a little banged up still. The trip to Florida with the boys was hard to put into words. Still feeling that a little bit. I mean, it's a week and a half later, and I'm still feeling it. But my voice is back enough that I can do this podcast with all of you. So happy to be back. Happy to be bringing you Laying the Points with Farley Betts, brought to you here by the Odds Breakers umbrella. As always, you can follow me at Farley Betts on Twitter. You should also follow the Odds Breakers on Twitter and OB Kiev. That's OBKIEV. On Twitter is the Odds Breaker himself. So you check us out on Twitter. You can also check me out on Instagram at Farley Betts. I'm human, so sometimes I put out like live bets on Instagram and I forget to put them out on Twitter, or vice versa. So it might be a good idea to follow me on both. I also do put out premium picks for, I'm told, one of the greatest values you can get out there. As far as the amount that I win and the amount that I charge, it's pretty damn good rate. You can find out more about that anytime. Just send me a DM on Instagram or Twitter at Farley Betts and check me out. So this is the third episode of Laying the Points with Farley Betts. And I got a few things to talk to you guys about today. I'm going to talk a little bit about the NFL, the draft, just cover that quickly. Little NBA talk, and then we'll get to some look ahead NBA bets this week. Probably a shorter podcast. The Odds Breaker himself and I are going to do a podcast soon on NBA, so I don't want to overdo it here on this one, but I do have some look-ahead bets for Thursday and Friday this week. Hopefully I can talk to you guys a little bit more about UFC in the future, too. We have a big card coming out at UFC 262 that I love. Love me some Tony Ferguson. So a lot of great fights in that card. So anyway, let's get to it today on Laying the Points. All right, first of all, let's talk a little NFL draft. Not really going to get into who drafted who and how well I think teams did, but first of all, what a show, right? The NFL, through all of this, has been able to sustain, and they played by the rules, but now that they're allowed to do a little more, it didn't take them long, did it? Kind of like UFC and that recent UFC card in Jacksonville, man, that crowd was popping. The crowd was live. The crowd was ready in Cleveland. Love that they had those little lazy boys out there on the stage for one lucky fan of each team. That was a sick move. And it was just awesome to see everybody back in person, seeing the players there, accepting their jerseys, talking to the commish. You know, a lot of people were hating on this commissioner for a long time, but done some great things. The NFL just perseveres and perseveres. And the draft is some show. You know, John Middlecoff, on his podcast, he's on the under the Fox network. I think it's like under the Colin Cowherd network. He had a great analogy. You know, the NFL draft is kind of like The Bachelor for men, right? It's a soap opera, and we're just waiting, and no one really knows who's going to pick who, and there's all kinds of surprises. I mean, when Trey Lance was picked by the Niners, I went apeshit. I was like, oh yeah, fuck you, Mac Jones. Now I don't have anything against Mac Jones, but I thought that was the right move for the 49ers. And the draft is just such a show. You know, the NFL does it so well. But one thing just to keep in mind, I know this is, you know, sort of negative. I'm not trying to be so negative here, but the reality is 95% of these kids that are drafted are going to have little to no impact on their teams. That's just the truth. If you remember back to any draft class, how many players actually stand out to where you're like, oh yeah, he was drafted in 2014, third round, what a boss. I mean, people, you know, these guys fit in. Most of them make the team. You know, I don't even know if it's most of them, but many of them make the team. They do well, you know, but most of them become journeymen. And hopefully they have a longer NFL career. I think the average NFL career is what, like, I don't know, it's not long. It's a few years maybe. So everybody loves, you know, we're giving out draft grades, which team did the best. I think my Giants did pretty damn good. But no one really knows. I mean, if you're sitting there acting like you know what a fourth or fifth or sixth rounder is going to do for his team, you're kind of full of shit. The Odds Breaker might know. OB Kiev might know. there's a few handicappers out there that might know, that pay a lot of attention to college football, but most of us don't know. We don't know what the hell we're talking about. So it was one hell of a show. I loved to watch it. We'll see what happens this year. You know, most of these teams are not going to change very much. I mean, the Chiefs only got better. They attacked their offensive line. Mahomes is going to have better protection than ever. They got some defenders, some good picks on defense on their team. God, my voice is kind of struggling, isn't it? Fucking Florida. Gotta love it. The Bucs got better. You know, I think most people agree that they did a great job in their draft. So, you know, you're not going to see huge changes, maybe iterative changes, but that's just the way it is. And to claim that any one team is going to, you know, thrive after the draft and it really changes their power ranking or position, it's, you know, it's bullshit. But, you know, another reason why the NFL is king, it's because it's like a soap opera, right? The same day of the draft, Aaron Rodgers comes out and he goes, I'm done in Green Bay. I want to move on. Now, Aaron Rodgers is kind of a prick. I mean, we've known that for a long time. Kind of a whiner, kind of a baby. Elite talent, one of the best to ever do it for sure, but God, he's annoying. Can't let things go. I'm sure his Hollywood wife is only making that worse. But what a soap opera. What a great thing. I mean, I was loving it. What a narrative right before the draft. It was awesome. And then everybody's wondering when Mac Jones is going to go, or when Trey Lance is going to go, or when Justin Fields is going to be taken. The Bears move up and take Justin Fields. We'll talk a little more about him because he is one draftee I want to talk about. But it kind of just reminds me of like the Attitude Era in WWE. If you haven't noticed, I'm a pretty big wrestling fan. Well, I used to be a big wrestling fan. They call it a mark. Back in the day, the Attitude Era, Stone Cold, The Rock, The Undertaker, come on. If you're not admitting you watched it, it's fine. But you probably watched it. And the NFL is a lot like that today, right? I mean, Deshaun Watson, was going to be one of the best quarterbacks to ever do it, possibly. I mean, look, pure athleticism, huge arm, amazing talent. You know, just has a lot of shit around him in Houston. But then, God, what happens? He's apparently obsessed with massage therapists. I mean, what? He can't not sext and go hang out with and have sex with massage therapists. They just one after the other. Mac Jones is kind of like John Cena. No one really likes him. Kind of has a baby face. Doesn't look very cool. Doesn't seem like he has an edge. But he got drafted to New England. Right? He's a company boy. He got drafted to one of the better teams you could possibly get drafted to as a quarterback, obviously, with Belichick and the whole crew. So I'm sure we're going to keep on hating Mac. So it's a soap opera and it's so well done. And kudos to the NFL to persevere. I'm sure there'll be a ton of fans at games this year. The NFL doesn't give a fuck. You know, and that's why people love the NFL. I'll talk a little more about that later, but that appeals to people. You know, following the rules, being safe, nothing about that appeals to it. I mean, it's nice to, you know, of course we've had to follow rules during COVID, but it doesn't get people amped. You know, this is sports. We want our athletes and our coaches and the people who represent sports to be resilient and to persevere. You're right? That's what the Miami Heat did last year in the playoffs. Just resilient team. Tough team. Got to the finals because of it. We love that. Love that shit. Love me some Jimmy Butler. So anyway, moving on from that, but the NFL, what a show. Let's talk a little bit about Justin Fields. So I've never seen more Instagram posts and tweets about anyone that just got drafted saying something to the like of, hey, these other teams are going to be sorry. This boy's going to kill it. Justin Fields, man, watch out. He's the next big thing. And to that I say, obviously, of course, nobody knows that. Right? I mean, we don't know if Justin Fields is going to be great. But secondly, I mean, let's not put that pressure on this kid. Like, let's not put pressure on him. Okay? He fell, and that was a near miracle for the Bears for that to happen. Kudos to Ryan Pace. He did it. He didn't fuck this one up. Remember back in 2017, Matt Nagy was with the Chiefs. One of the biggest reasons why Patrick Mahomes didn't play yet, right? They played Alex Smith. He still did really well. But they didn't want to start him. They didn't want to put him out there too early. The same thing might happen with Justin Fields. It probably will. Right? They have Andy Dalton. They got the red rifle. And why wouldn't they ease Justin Fields into the NFL. He's got all the intangibles, right? 4.46 40, 6.3. And to me, the thing I like about Justin Fields the most, it's that intangible I was talking about before. He doesn't seem like he gives a shit. He doesn't give a shit what you think about him. He doesn't give a shit what anyone thinks about him. He has an edge to him. He has an attitude. Leadership. Seems like a real leader. That's something that's kind of lacking today, right? A lot of softness. A lot of people not willing to disagree, to go against others, to speak up, to be contentious, to not just go with the rest of what everyone else thinks or feels, or just be nice. You know, again, talking about wrestling, but it's sort of like the PG era, right? Like we're sort of getting over that now. We're sort of sick of that. We're sick of the nice guys. Justin Fields fits into the new frame. He fits into the new age of the NFL. I like him. I like him a lot. I think he could be, and you know, he gives the Bears hope. Thank God. I mean, I'm not a Bears fan, but they deserve it. Ton of bad years. Ryan Pace fucking up left and right. They did the right thing here. They didn't let this one go, thank God. But let's take it easy on Justin Fields for now. Let's wait. I know it's a society that loves things immediate. We love things to happen right away. We love recency bias and bada bing, bada boom. We know exactly what's going to happen. No, you don't. But Justin Fields could be the real deal. Let's not rush him out there. Let's not put pressure on him. And the NFC North could be really interesting, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people that seem to have an in the Packers organization or Aaron Rodgers thinks that that's over. He's not coming back. So the NFC North could be wide open. Is it going to be Kirk Cousins' division? Damn sure it's not going to be the Lions' division for a little while. I mean, I like how they're rebuilding. I love their draft, but that's not going to happen overnight. Could the Bears take the NFC North? Could it be Justin Fields coming in halfway through the year? See, I'm doing it already. Probably not. Okay, that's how we have to lean. He could be really good, but let's relax. We don't know. He could suck. He could be Josh Rosen. He could be DeMarcus Russell, right? I mean, you know, maybe at best he's Lamar Jackson, but even Lamar Jackson is struggling. I don't know if Lamar Jackson is going to win a championship. He might. He's going to have to figure out how to throw the ball a little better. I mean, would you still draft Lamar Jackson? Of course. And Justin Fields feels like that sort of athlete, like that sort of leader. Good kid, has an edge, elite athleticism, big arm. But let's just not crown him too soon. Let's wait for it to happen. Hope for the Bears. You'd love to see it. All right, switching gears a little bit as I continue to abuse my voice. Apologies if you can hear that. I also understand that I need a new mic. Okay, this is a good mic that I have. It's not a great mic. We'll get there. The more you guys listen, the more I can buy. No, that's not really true. But I'll get there eventually. So switching gears, I want to talk a little bit about handicapping in a different light. You know, I love the psychology behind sports. I think that's where most of my handicapping comes from. I look for spots. I look for motivation. You know, I kind of dissect where the players' heads are in that game. I mean, stats need to back it up, but it shouldn't be purely about, you know, stats. Gambling, sports betting is all about angles. It's all about finding the edge. And it feels like right now in the NBA, there's some change in the air, right? I mean, after Michael Jordan came Kobe, right? The Jordan era kind of passed it over to Kobe and Shaq. And Kobe and Shaq passed it over to LeBron James. And LeBron, it's clear, he's been very negative lately. I think the time of the king, the LeBron era, may be coming to an end soon. He'll probably play next year. But finally, this might be catching up to him. I mean, there's a quick turnaround from last year's season to this year's. LeBron was vocal about moving the season up to start in January, not in December. He didn't get his usual amount of rest. And I think this just might be, we might be near the end of an era. And it just feels like change is in the air. And the question is, in the NBA, who's going to step up? And who's going to take that crown? In my opinion, that crown, if he wants it, if he does the right thing, belongs to Zion. Zion Williamson of the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, I don't know if he needs to switch teams because the coaching there obviously sucks. But if you ask me, it's up to Zion. Zion just needs to start becoming a leader. And a certain aspect of that, just ask Brady. Even in football, just ask Mahomes. Okay? A certain part of that is having an edge, being a little mean, being a little honest with your teammates. You know, in football, it's been Tom Brady, it was Peyton Manning for the past 10, 20 years. In the NBA, it's been LeBron for a long time. I mean, he's kind of the only, you know, the only dog out there, you know, pushes his team, doesn't give a fuck, you know. As good as LeBron is, as nice of a guy as he seems to be off the court, and I know he flails a lot, right? He gets poked in the eye and he falls over. I know, I get it. He could be annoying. That's the modern NBA, right? It's kind of smart, right? He's just taking advantage of it. But LeBron can become an absolute dog when he has to. Remember that series, 3-1 down with the Cavs, came back, beat the Warriors. I mean, just legendary stuff. And LeBron James, though, now coming to the end, somebody is going to have to take the ball and run with it. Who's a similar type of leader? CP3, but he's also, you know, towards the end of his career. As far as a young player who can really take the ball and run with it, who can become the next face of the NBA, to me, that's Zion. But there, you need a certain edge, you need a killer instinct that people can relate to, that people can rally around. You know, like it or not, this is not a political podcast. I'm not going to say how I feel here. But like it or not, the reason why a lot of people like Trump is because he appeared like he didn't give a shit. Right? I mean, I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I mean, the president should probably give a shit. But it's just the fact that people voted for Trump because they're sick of political correctness. They were sick of the media. They're sick of being told what to do and what to say. And clearly, Trump didn't give a fuck. And that appealed to a lot of people. It's a psychology thing. People like leaders who are unwavering. That's true throughout history. Even if they're wrong, clearly. People like leaders who stand up. They're confident. They have an edge. They don't care what you think. They stand for something. They have a brash confidence about them. You know, in sports, the epitome of that was Michael Jordan, right? I think that's why so many people like Michael over LeBron. Michael Jordan had an edge. He was handsome, confident, smoking cigars after the games, gambling. He didn't care. And he told you to your face that he will beat you. Remember watching the Last Dance. Hopefully most of you saw that. But remember when the Dream Team practice session, Jordan was going up against Magic Johnson, and he went after Magic. He's like, my guys are going to be your guys. It's over. There's a new king here. There's a changing of the guard. This is my NBA now. Michael Jordan went after you. And that's what we need to see in Zion. And Zion can take that if he wants. The guy is a freak. Okay, I don't know if he should be shooting from the outside. He kind of stopped that a little bit. But you cannot stop that man in the front court. You can't. He's too explosive. He's too strong. Especially in the modern NBA. He can have his way. He can get so many more rebounds if he wanted to. He can get probably so many more points if he wanted to, but he's a nice kid. He seems like a quiet kid, a nice kid. He kind of, you know, he's friendly with everybody, right? Lonzo Ball got him like an Xbox or something, and he couldn't believe it last year. He was like, oh man, Xbox. Like, he's a good kid. He's simple. Like, he's sweet. I love that about him as a human. But in sports, you have to become a dog. You got to become a leader who people can, I mean, if you want to be a leader, if you want to stand out on your team, you have to have that edge to you. And in betting and sports betting, the main reason why I'm making this point is because when we get to playoff time, which is around the corner, I think we only have about a week and a half left of the regular season, two at most, those teams who are resilient, who have dogs on their team, CP3, Julius Randle, Jimmy Butler, LeBron James, Kawhi can do enough. I mean, Kawhi gets there when he has to. Those are the teams that are going to rise above. Those are the teams that are going to be, that are going to get to the next level. You know, defense is a big part of that too, obviously. But in betting, it can't be understated. Which team has the best leader? Which team is the most resilient? And Zion has the opportunity to take that stage, get a little edge, get a little attitude, you know, and take it to the next level, because the Pelicans have too much talent, man. I mean, the Pelicans, I think they're 11th right now in the standings. So they're outside the play-in for the playoffs, that new play-in tournament, which I think is dumb. But they can still get into the playoffs. I mean, we saw what they did last night against the Warriors. Of course, they benefited from a little game and freeze with the lights or whatever, but the Pelicans have a lot of talent. I mean, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, I'm not a big Lonzo Ball guy, but he's good enough. He's a good point guard. Steven Adams, Zion, Bledsoe. That's a hell of a starting five. And obviously the Pelicans need better coaching, but in the NBA, man, it's not really about coaching. It's not like the NFL. In the NFL, coaching still matters, right? I mean, ask Sean McVay about Kyle Shanahan. Ask any of the AFC East coaches about Bill Belichick, right? I mean, ask Bill Belichick about Tom Coughlin. Coaching still matters in the NFL. It's a huge team game. But in the NBA, would the Lakers have won last year, even if their coach was different? Yeah, probably. I mean, half the time I forget the names of these damn coaches, because it's a players' league. They control everything. And which teams, as we move towards the playoffs, I mean, first of all, first point, Zion, step it up. Because someone has to take this crown. I don't know who the hell else is going to do it. And if we start seeing that from Zion, bet on the Pelicans. I mean, I think they're annoying too, but bet on them if Zion is stepping up like that. And especially if they're big dogs. But if they're in good spots, like last night, I was all over the Pelicans. Because the Pelicans can compete with almost every team when they play fast pace, and when Zion is imposing his will in the front court. All right, let's talk about some look-ahead bets. God, I gotta try to go easy on this voice of mine. I can't believe how shitty my voice is right now. Hopefully you don't hear it, but I am. Ooh, Florida, baby, Florida. All right, so obviously as we move towards the playoffs, we really have to take advantage of any motivational angles for those teams that are really, really trying to make the playoffs. In the East, that's the Celtics, the Hornets, the Pacers, Wizards. The Heat, you know, Heat are in there too at sixth, but not really. You know, Heat are going to make it. And in the West, Grizzlies, Pelicans sit at 11th. Warriors, Blazers. Just keep all these teams in mind and how they're, you know, they're trying to get to a certain place here. You know, the playoff, the play-in. So the 9th and 10th teams could get in. Again, I think that's so dumb. I guess they're trying to be like college basketball or something, but you got to think about that now, because you can't be out of that 10th spot. So on Thursday, we got the Bulls at the Hornets. The Bulls should get a respectable line here. I love what LaMelo Ball brings, just like energy-wise and youth-wise, and he brings an element of team basketball too. I mean, the way that he facilitates, it's exciting. If you're one of the teammates of Balls on the Hornets, you know, Balls. If you're one of LaMelo Ball's teammates, you probably get excited when he's playing, because it could be a pass coming out of nowhere, right, for you. So he's fun to watch. Hornets are a better team than most people think. I mean, if Gordon Hayward was there, they would be even better. I don't know if he could come back for the playoffs, but he's done for the season, for the regular season. But the Bulls should get a respectable line here. The Hornets are at home off 2 days of rest before this game. But they do have a game on Friday against Orlando at home, which could be a trap game, so watch out for that. But they do have a game on Friday against Orlando at home, so watch out for that. Could be a trap game. But if this line is 4.5 or less, I'm going to hammer the Hornets, who needs to stay in playoff contention. Wizards at the Raptors on Thursday as well. This could be a trap game for the Wizards, because the Raptors, you never know what the hell they're going to do. One of the most volatile teams in the NBA. I mean, it really depends on who's playing, because they've been just plagued with a lot of injuries. But how could you not love the way the Wizards are playing lately? Russell Westbrook, I mean, come on. Against the Pacers, 21 rebounds, 24 assists, 14 points. And who cares that he only got 14 points? I mean, Hachimura? Got 27 points, Beal got 26. I mean, 24 assists. That's insane. I mean, it's not that unbelievable in the modern NBA, right? Everything is so soft. I mean, it's just, he's so aggressive that it makes sense that he kind of sets the tone. But the Wizards are an up-tempo, facilitating offense. If you can't catch up to them, you know, if you can't keep pace with them, then you're going to lose. mostly. And you know, the Warriors looked a lot like that a few years ago. I'm not saying it's the same team, but I'm telling you, if the Wizards can find a way to bring some good defenders onto their team or just figure out a way to play defense, that's one thing about the Warriors a lot of people don't know is they had top 10 defense heading into their championships. This could be a very, very dangerous team in Washington in the years to come. In the playoffs, they could be a dangerous team too. But we love overs for Wizards games. And you know, Toronto could be feisty here. I lean the Wizards, but we got to wait until we see this line. If this line is 5 or less, I'll probably be playing on Washington. But since it's at, you know, Tampa, at the Raptors, I'll probably just hammer the over and, you know, just put a small play on the Wizards if it's a low line. The Hawks and the Pacers, also on Thursday. This is at Indiana. The Pacers need this game more since they sit at 10th in the East. But the Hawks, and my goodness, they're playing really well. I get some front page news on ESPN today, and they should. They won 10 out of 17 of their games in April against a lot of tough opponents like the Heat, the Bucks, the Warriors, the Warriors, the Pelicans, the Spurs. And they're 5th in the East right now, which really, I mean, they're overperforming for what they've been through this year, right? For a coaching change mid-year, a lot of injuries to deal with. But they're 12th in point differential and 9th in offensive efficiency. They're a good team. They're not going to blow you away on either end of the court, but they find ways to win. Well-coached. And Clint Capella, he deserves some. I mean, hammer this guy's. If his rebounds are projected like under 15, that's a pretty good bet most nights. I mean, look at his stats throughout April. I mean, 16 rebounds, 22 rebounds, 18 rebounds, 26 rebounds, 19 rebounds. I mean, it's routine for him. And you know, that kind of front court dominance is a lost art in the NBA. A lot of teams, you know, you see it all the time, right? Teams are launching shots from the outside or just mid-range jumpers. And these players are just like backing away from the rim. You know, people don't attack. It's the reason why Westbrook is killing it. And, you know, Indiana is playing at the pace of other teams, which I don't like to see. So when they played the Wizards, there's an astronomical number. That was a dumb underplay on my part. I thought it'd be more like a playoff feel. Maybe Indiana can slow down the Wizards, but apparently nobody can right now. But I don't like that for Indiana. They seem to be devolving or degressing a little bit as the season ends. But the one thing is the Hawks are off of back-to-back here. So they're at home against the Suns today, Wednesday, and then they face the Pacers on Thursday. So that's a tough spot. Indiana is also off of back-to-back, but they have the Kings at home Wednesday a little better. Probably just a lean on ATL right now. Depends where the line is, but the Hawks are absolutely playing better basketball. Indiana's really banged up, too. I know Sabonis has been dealing with some injuries, as well as Miles Turner. I mean, they just can't have a complete lineup, it seems. So, should be an interesting watch. Lean to the Hawks for now. Look at my articles at the Odds Breakers for more on that. On Friday, Knicks versus the Suns. Hoo-hoo! Knicks are in the middle of a brutal road trip. First of all, I love the Knicks. I can't say that I'm like a Knicks fan, even though I'm a New York Giants fan. I'm from Northern Jersey, right? I should be a Knicks fan, probably, but I can't say I'm a Knicks fan because I didn't really follow them growing up. I'm not a bandwagoner. I was a Kobe guy. I was a Shaq guy. So I was pretty much a Lakers fan for years. So I'm not going to like jump ship, but I love the way the Knicks play. I love Julius Randle. I love the way that they play defense. I mean, if this team finds a little bit of offense, right, and Randle is standing out as that leader, as that dog, love him. If the Knicks play a little bit of offense, they are tough to beat because they can shut you down on defense whenever they want. Unless you're like, you know, unless you're the Nets or like the Bucks at home, and maybe unless you're the Suns, who might be the best team in the NBA right now. But even then, the Knicks could shut down those teams too. I really believe that. They have great schemes. They play hard. They actually care about defense. They've showed it all year. But this is a brutal road trip for the Knicks. They got Denver tonight, so Wednesday, and then they have Phoenix on Friday, and then the Clippers on Sunday. That's all on the road. So we'll see where this line is, but this is really, really tough. The Suns have led the ATS rankings. They're the best team against the spread most of the year, but the Knicks are the new leader in that. They're hitting at 65.6% overall and on the road. That's really, really impressive. So probably a stay-away game for me just because it's going to be so competitive, like a playoff game. But I lean under. I'm guessing it'll be around like 228, 229. We'll see where it lands. But this should feel like a playoff game, kind of like my angle with the Pacers and Wizards. Both of these teams are healthy. They care. They play defense. The last game ended at 228. The Suns won 218 to 210. So if the Knicks are big dogs, or if the total is too high, then I'm going to be in the under. And if the Knicks are too big of a dog, I'm going to be in the Knicks. Rockets at the Bucks. I love the over in that one. Their last game went to 279 points. That was just a few days ago. The Rockets, like the Pacers, they just play at the pace of the other team. And the Bucks at home, we saw what they did with the Nets. Of course, the Nets are a way better offensive team than the Rockets. But I could see the Rockets not playing much defense. Giannis having his way again. Or I always say Giannis. Giannis having his way again. And this game, as long as it's under 240 of a total, I'm probably going over on this one. Spurs at the Kings. The Spurs are the ATS leader on the road. The Spurs are hitting at 70% against the spread on the road. That's a tremendous stat. They face Utah tonight. It's Wednesday again. They face Utah. And then on Friday, they're at Sacramento. They face the Kings. If this line is anywhere near reasonable, like a 5-point line, I'm going to hit the Spurs on this one. Kings are a team that's really about to give up on the season. They're playing actually pretty well. But Spurs on the road, something takes place. I don't know. Old Wiley vet and Greg Popovich knows how to coach up his team on the road. So Spurs have no problem, obviously. And you're just at least you're going with the stats now, right? The Spurs, they want to make the playoffs. Right now, they're sitting on the edge of the playoff play-in tournament, and they're really, really good on the road. So you should probably lean or favor the Spurs in that matchup. And finally, the Celtics and the Bulls on Friday. I like Boston in this contest. As you can probably tell, I haven't been a big fan of the Bulls all year, and that turns out to be true. I think they're sitting at 13th in the East. They're not going to make the playoffs. The Celtics have a doubleheader coming at home against the Heat starting Sunday. So I think that they're really going to want to get this win against the Bulls. It's a winnable game. Again, with all these games, as long as everyone's healthy and as long as everyone's playing and they're not resting, then I would favor the Boston side here. LaVine, I think he's near a comeback. Or I don't even know if he already came back, I'll be honest. I don't really pay too much attention to the Bulls because I fade them a lot, and it tends to work. But the Celtics need this win way more. The Bulls are virtually out of it. So that's, again, a reasonable line. If let's say this is under 6, so a two-possession game at most, I'm going to be all over the Boston Celtics. All right, I'm wrapping up this podcast. I've tortured my voice enough. You can check out this podcast, Laying the Points with Farley Betts, everywhere you find podcasts. It's also going to be available at theoddsbreakers.com. Check out my daily articles at theoddsbreakers.com, as well as everything that we have going on there on a daily basis. Tons and tons and tons of write-ups, as well as the Odds Breaker himself giving out his premium picks, as well as me. You can find me at Farley Betts on Instagram and Twitter. And you can find us at The Odds Breakers on Twitter, as well as OBKF. Until next time, everybody, episode 3 is done. Episode 4 next week. Have a great week. Happy wagering. And let's win some damn money.